Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good night. I don't know. I guess it generally depends on where in the world you are and at what time you are accessing this podcast. But wherever you are, and especially if you are in America, hello, America, and welcome to another edition of the C Report. What is today? Did we miss the 15th? Is today? Today is Thursday the 16th, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I think I finished recording an episode for you guys early on into the 15th. I might have intended to have recorded an episode on the 15th at, you know, a godly hour. But, well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's now the 16th. And I'm your host, Mr. C, Michael Aaron Kosidis. However you choose to call me, I don't care. But this is the C Report. I hope you all can see now. America is awake. Are you awake, America? Or are you still in a fit of slumber? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the bed bugs are biting too much these days, America. You know, whether it's on your legs, around your thighs, on your hips, or in your armpits, it's gotta be annoying you. I mean, I know it would me. But anyways, America, I was trying to decide how I was going to not so much start this episode as much as get into it. We talked about the things that we talked about the last few days. Well, continue on. I gave you guys kind of a heads up. I think, you know, we'll get some stuff down today. We'll get some stuff done today. You know, I think what I have in front of me right now, as we speak, updates on the Kerry Lake stolen governor's race of Arizona's midterms in the year 2023. Kind of going through that stuff, you know, trying to catch up with myself, you know, because I've really not been on the ball the last month or two. You know, I stopped broadcasting towards the end of January, mid-January, right? So 2 months, you know, 2 months or so. I think it's not unheard of, ladies and gentlemen, but it happens. And so, you know, I mean, I've really not been on it. You know, there's so many stories I've been trying to catch up with. I'm actually kind of doing it at my leisure, and I kind of feel like the news cycle at the moment is affording me that, while some people are doing their usual and just turning out all of the info, and others are piddling their thumbs waiting for a piece of meat to be thrown at them. It's not a lull, ladies and gentlemen, but it's one of those moments where it's like the news just don't catch, and everyone is giving you the same information with the exception of a few. So most people are giving you the same stale perspectives, because a lot of these people don't have their own perspective. They've just got a job to do, ladies and gentlemen, or they've just got a dream to fulfill. Let me tell you what having vision can do for you, America. I have no idea. I have no vision. Anyways, so I was looking at some stories. I want to catch you guys up with. We could start with Kerry Lake, and why not? Because after all, when we're talking about the things that affront America and everything that we stand for, and not just everything that we stand for, but even what we stand for symbolically, and even what we stand for more importantly, for to the rest of this world, to the rest of every other nation, to the rest of every other family, to the rest of every immigrant. Do I sound like a bigot if I say that immigrants want to come to America? Do I sound like a bigot, or do I sound like someone who's, you know, I don't know. What's the word, right? I mean, it wouldn't be xenophobic, right? I mean, but if I'm like, yeah, you want to come to America, right? Because America's the best, you know? You little pish-posh immigrant, come on over, right? No. It's true. But it, as an affront to everything that we stand for, you know, layer one being the actual theft and fraud that takes place in our elections. Layer two, the intricate and business-like foundations and structures that assist with that theft and fraud. Be they legal, you know it's illegal. I'm going to say, be they legal or be they illegal. Be they market or be they black market. It's all illegal. It's all unlawful. It's all unconstitutional. It's definitely immoral. These foundations that assist and ground the theft and fraud that takes place in our elections today. All the way up to the top in such an intricate machine that now America can see. America can see it. When we say America is awake, we mean there is a percentage of Americans who are awake that are paying attention, that want to do something about it, that are interested in doing something about it, or are probably already doing something about it, you know. When you have the kind of time that I have now, because I've relinquished my realm, I mean, not realm, I've relinquished my reins on scheduling that I put upon myself only because, and only at the expense, it wasn't even worth it, but only with this type of time, you know, to really kind of dig in and see and kind of formulate those thoughts that you want to get out to people, even though these are thoughts that sometimes people hide from. Because there's a truth that is much graver out there that I don't think, but I'm probably wrong. I don't think many Americans, no, let's put it this way. I don't think many Americans want to face the truth, but I believe many Americans are ready to face the truth. In other words, whether they want to or not, they are ready for it. Are you ready to see exactly how rotten, defiled, and maggot-ridden the corpse of our beliefs in this nation's sacrednesses when we turn over the body? You know what I mean? Like, you see roadkill out on the side of the road. You see it kind of bloated. It doesn't stink yet. You see a bunch of flies and maybe a couple of maggots, right? You turn that body over, and the underside is raw and eaten out, and it's a sea of maggots. Just the whole body looks like it's alive, it's moving, right? That's what we're looking at. Okay, that kind of rot to the core. Is America ready for that? To see that rotten core, to see that raw and exposed flesh, to learn it inside and out? I think we are. Do we want to? No. Or maybe it's in reverse. Maybe we want to see it, but we're not ready to see it. I think that's what the powers that be believe. I think that's the powers of the people who have, the people who are so convoluted in their own operations now because the operations themselves are backfiring. I mean, you're talking about being in a moment of truth. Every operation, even the ones with good intentions that work on deception, will fall through. I mean, even those who are involved in these operations have to know that, even if their intentions are of the best. Because even though their intentions are to get us to the promised land, they might actually be taking us through the forest and the swamp to get there. I'm not saying that about everyone or pointing fingers at anyone. I think a lesson I should have learned a long time ago. If it resonates with you, it resonates for a reason, right? Anyways, all's I'm saying is, I think we're ready for it, even if we don't want to be. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, it is much better to be ready for it when you don't want to be than it is to want to be ready for it when you're not. And I think that is a valuable lesson in timing. Timing, ladies and gentlemen. Timing can also be like a little white lie, you know. It can be. Because if it's not the right time, when is it? Anyways, so massive machine failures and voter disenfranchisement in red districts of Maricopa County could not arise absent intentional misconduct, says IT and elections expert. That's a Jordan by Article Conradson. Just kidding. It's an article by Jordan Conradson of the Gateway Pundit. That's right before my eyes. But I think the one I wanted to share with you guys, because I said I want to talk about Carrie Lake. Now, we can talk about that. I mean, I wasn't intending to share this article to you. This is from December 12th, like last year. Last year, guys. 2022. I mean, we all know it's 2023, but someone might access this podcast at a later date. So let's just give them a clue, right? Anyways. Let's look at this next Gateway Pundit article, also by Mr. Conradson, just in. Now, this one's a little bit more timely, March 14th, 2023, because like I said, I wanted to, let's do an update on Carrie Lake, because she's still fighting for her election. In other words, she's still fighting in courts for the stolen election, okay? You know, Abe Hamaday and Sonny Borelli and Mark Fincham were in their own separate fights. And those are the Arizona America First candidates. We talked a bit about Hamaday. I mean, he talked about his case at CPAC, you know. I don't even remember what it was about. I mean, focus one is Carrie Lake. I think Sonny Borelli won. Hello. But regarding Mark Fincham and Abe Hamaday, and who was the other one? The Peter Thiel guy, right? The guy that Peter Thiel was boofing. I say poofing, but I don't mean like poofing. I just mean like he was propping up, right? Like, what was his name? Blake Masterson? No. Was it Masterson? I can't remember. Blake. The Blake guy. The one that used to wear too much foundation, him. To watch theirs. Now, there were updates on, I think I had updates on all three of those. I don't recall them, okay? The three, do not seem to be putting up as much as a fight. And maybe it's because they're not as much of a political national face as Carrie Lake is. That the optics present themselves in that way, I mean. That we know that it seems like they're fighting. Okay. I know Fincham is, but, you know, I said some things in regards to Mr. Fincham with all due respect in the previous episode. But anyhow, because we know how Texas politics works, you know, I kind of wanted to touch into Texas a little bit this afternoon as well. Okay. And I might do so. We might go there. We might get there. We're starting with Arizona and Carrie Lake, you know, because she is still fighting for integrity in our elections, okay? So where did we leave off with this? Now, we had, of course, I think when I left off with you guys, it was in January, in what was going on in Arizona, if at all, right? Even then, you know, even then I was having some challenges keeping up with all of the news that was going on at the time and, you know, whatever it was that I was really focused on, including a lot of Texas stuff at that time, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, President Trump, Governor Lake, you know, they're the only ones on the national front who are still talking about election fraud prevention, right? About correcting the 2020 and 2022 elections. You can throw 2021 in there, but that's not part of the script, so to speak, generically speaking. Let's see what else do we got going on here. So, you know, they're the only two. They're literally the only two. You know, we have an entire brand new Congress. How many of them are talking about election integrity? I can tell you what's going on in the Texas House. I was kind of reviewing some of that stuff. You know, they're going through, you know, like in the state of Texas, you know, because in our last legislative session in the state of Texas, we decided to decriminalize election fraud. So right now they're in the process of criminalizing it again. Okay, that's, you know, just so they can say, hey, we did something for election integrity, because they think we're that stupid, you know. I looked a freshman representative in the face whom I knew had been in the system for decades. In other words, when I say he's been in the system, he might not have been an elected representative or official or whatever he deems himself. He seemed like he was more comfortable with the official title than the representative title. Okay. But, you know, I knew he had been in the system for a long time, but meaning that he'd been like the president of like the Republican caucus. He'd been the president of the county caucus, whatever. He'd been in the system. In other words, he'd been in positions to make decisions and to have control of maneuvering in the past. So when I told him, you're a freshman representative, he looked at me smugly and laughed. Ha 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 ha. To which I said, no. I know you've been in the system for decades, but this is your first term as someone who is an elected. In other words, you were not appointed. You were not hired. You are now elected. Okay. So, you know, that just goes all the way back down to who's talking about election integrity, because I even told that man that was my number one concern. Okay. There's a new concern in town, ladies and gentlemen, in case you guys didn't just start tuning in to DC Report again. Do you see what I'm talking about? Okay. And that, ladies and gentlemen, of course, is dealing with the foundations of our fraud. You know, I was making fun a few episodes ago, two or three episodes ago, and I was, I mean, making fun, but, you know, just putting a little bit of levity to the situation. When you think about someone who is, try walking in these footsteps, right? Your mother is someone who comes from another country. Let's make it easy. It's Mexico. It's just south of us. No papers. Is trying to get into America, trying to make a better life for themselves, is trying to do any kind of work or gain any kind of money or whatever it takes. And, you know, they end up working for the cartel. Has a child. You know, mothers, and, you know, I know people. I'm just saying, in my personal life, I know people who have not been in situations as extreme of extreme as this, but in situations similar. I mean, just de-escalated by like 50. And I know people in my personal life who've been in situations like, who come from the other side of the border, who have no papers, who does what it takes and does whatever with whomever and whatever they want just to be here, which is total exploitation. But that's a side issue, right? You know? So, you know, I was making fun because imagine walking in that person's shoes who's trying to have a good life, gets mixed up with bad people and ends up. And, you know, it's probably a cozy job, you know. You know, running fraudulent papers and administrative duties for the cartel. Probably cozy. I would imagine that in a position like that, you're not going to be hard up for money. You're not going to be hard up for security, okay? And that's based on the stuff that I've seen in my personal life, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. That's why these things hit a little bit closer to home. That's why these things I am more willing to focus on, because they are roots, ladies and gentlemen, and they need to be taken care of. We can't have a fair and secure election system if the people who are running the operations, the foundation, are all under duress, bribed, or blackmailed. Okay? Either they have a gun to their head, they have a threat to their head, or they have money being handed to them. And I don't care where that money comes from. You know, like I said, I was making fun. It was of Wandrea Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. I was like, oh, don't tell me the Dixie Mafia has had them under duress running all these operations in Georgia and finding a way to win a JFK, hero award for integrity, you know, whatever. That's what I'm saying. This puts an entirely different frame on the problem. Does the frame fit, or is it just my own biases being confirmed? That's my question, America. But let's catch up, okay? Because again, who else is talking about election integrity? Who else is fighting for elections? Who else is fighting for your voice, America? Besides President Trump, it's Carrie Lake. You know, and at this point, there are so many things that could... There's so many things, perspectives, views, viewpoints, rabbit holes, research points, everything that could put everyone in the good guy position or the bad guy position or the white hat position or the black hat position. But what it's going to boil down to is the action you put behind your gut. Because we want to go by our gut, ladies and gentlemen. But now, just like faith without works is dead, a gut without research is null. How about that, America? Because we can go with our gut feeling, but without the research and the legs behind it, it gets a little bit hard to navigate sometimes, at least when you go as deep as some people do, okay? Let's update you on Carrie Lake and her stolen election from 2022, just in from Jordan Conradson, whom I've always liked. I remember when he first started with the Gateway Pundit. I was there, okay? Always liked Jordan, okay? I always liked Jordan Conradson. Anyways, just in Maricopa County Files, bogus response in Carrie Lake's historic Arizona Supreme Court election challenge. Internal conference scheduled for March 21st, so that's coming up. So we're finally ahead of news. Filing included. Maricopa County filed a response to Carrie Lake's petition for review in the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday. The Gateway Pundit has reported extensively on Carrie Lake's stolen election and lawsuit challenging the fraud on March 1st, 2023, after the Maricopa County Superior Court and the Arizona Appeals Court dismissed the case. Lake filed a petition for review and a motion to expedite review for election contest in the Arizona Supreme Court. As the Gateway pundit reported on March 2, the Arizona Supreme Court agreed to expedite Lake's lawsuit and scheduled March 21 to consider whether or not they will accept Lake's new petition. At the conference, the court will decide whether to accept review and schedule an oral argument, states the order. Responses from defendants were ordered to be submitted by March 13th. That was my dad's birthday. Maricopa County submitted a bogus response, falsely claiming that Carrie Lake presents for the first time a misleading factual theory about chain of custody documents and does not present any argument illustrating a need for this court to review the Court of Appeals opinion. They do not even want the Supreme Court to consider the case because they are terrified. Now, I'll pause in the article here and agree. This is ridiculous for Maricopa County to say that Carrie Lake is presenting, and this is a quote from their statement directly that they submitted, their response, presents for the first time for the first time, a misleading factual theory about chain of custody documents. I mean, no, it's totally false. I mean, chain of custody being broken has been known, and it was eyewitnessed. You know, I mean, maybe it is for the first time to the Supreme Court of Arizona, but that would just be another play on words that they are using to their advantage in this litigation process, because this is definitely not the first time that America has known that the chain of custody documentation was broken in Maricopa County, let alone a dozen other counties in this nation. It's actually more so, but that's not the point of this statement here. It goes on to say, from the Maricopa County attorney's argument, dishonest as it is, the only aspect of the petition that differs from Lake's briefing below is the inclusion of a newly fabricated characterization of chain of custody documents presented for the first time in the petition. But a petition for review is not the place for Lake to argue that the trial court's findings of fact were incorrect, nor that the Court of Appeals improperly accepted the facts that the trial court found. The Gateway Pundit says this is untrue, as they have reported extensively on the alleged discrepancies corroborated by whistleblower testimony, including missing chain of custody documentation for hundreds of thousands of ballots, and the injection of likely phony ballots into the election. Lake also challenges the burden of proof used in the Maricopa County Superior Court and the opinion that Carrie Lake did not provide clear and convincing evidence of fraud, which she should, because that was clear. I mean, we did not even need a judge to decide that. We did not even need a jury of our peers to decide that. We all who saw what happened at face value could determine that, ladies and gentlemen. Conradson goes on to write, Lake's attorneys argue that according to Findlay v. Sorensen, even if not intentional, election errors can nullify an election if they affect the result or at least render it uncertain. This is further confirmed by the opinion in Hunt v. Campbell, which states, wherever such practices or influences are shown to have prevailed, not slightly and individual cases, but generally so as to render the results uncertain, the entire vote so affected must be rejected. Lake was required to prove with clear and convincing evidence that the errors were intentional beyond a reasonable doubt and that the outcome was affected by election fraud, which does not conform to legal standards set forth above. And that's exactly what we saw happen. So the judge went from, give us evidence that this would make it uncertain or unreliable, to prove to us that these errors, which obviously make this race uncertain, were done intentionally. So in other words, the judge was like, well, we know it was all botched and effed up, but we need you to prove to us that they did it on purpose in order for me to even consider. It was a blowout, ladies and gentlemen. The article goes on to continue. Carrie Lake's election for governor of Arizona was blatantly stolen right in our faces. The Gateway Pundit has reported extensively on the massive machine and printer failures that targeted Election Day voters turning out for Carrie Lake and Republicans 3-1. This issue occurred at nearly 60% of voting locations in the county. And we know about all of that, ladies and gentlemen. We know about that, ladies and gentlemen. So that is where that stands. So on March 21st of this month, or on the 21st of this month, March 2023, they will decide whether or not they're going to hear this case. Carrie Lake is still fighting for election integrity. She is still fighting for fair elections. And she is still fighting to rectify the theft of 2022. And thereby, hopefully, rectify the theft of 2020, ladies and gentlemen. So, speaking of rectifying the theft of 2022, I thought that now we could consider another election conundrum from 2022 that this one not many people are talking about. Now, if you consider that Maricopa County, Arizona, right? City seat, I guess, is Phoenix, and Harris County, Texas, city seat is Houston, Texas, are adjacent, back-to-back, conjoined as, I think it's the fourth and fifth most populated counties in this nation, these United States of America. Okay. You'd find it interesting to note that while we're hearing a lot about Maricopa County, we're not hearing a lot about Harris County in regards to the stolen elections of 2022. Now, mark my words, ladies and gentlemen, the elections of 2022 were stolen. Okay. The fake Republicans, the sunshine and fair weather patriots, and the infiltrated Save America, Make America Great Again, America First patriots out there, okay, will tell you that the Republicans just didn't show up, and you have to blame Donald Trump, and you have to blame all these election big lie fraud claims, and you have to blame the weak top ticket candidates that we had. America, you're awake. You know for a fact that the grassroots won 2022. You know that America was more than a wash in a red wave. It was practically saturated. In fact, it was saturated in 2020. It just got a little bit more resaturated in 2022. It was already there in 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if you're playing party politics, if you're looking at the colors of the rainbow, whatever. The point of the matter is, we're American. You can call it red, white, and blue if you want. But why divide our nation into three colors, right? So Harris County, the fourth most populous county in the nation, only followed closely by Maricopa County by like about 10,000 people, maybe 100,000 people. I mean, it's percentage-wise, it's quite small, ladies and gentlemen, about, you know, between Maricopa and between Harris County, between Arizona and between Texas for the fourth and fifth most populous positions for counties in this nation. That's not a big percentage or number by at all, you know. But no one's talking about Harris County. You know, Harris County was stolen outright, downright, and in the daylight, just like Maricopa County, Arizona was. Harris County, Texas, it happened. They're still fighting in Texas over that. In fact, the pantomiming legislators of the state are still trying to figure that one out. We'll see if they figure it out, but we'll talk about it here a little bit. The most recent of recents, okay, because there's a lot of stuff happening in Texas right now. I mean, it's, you know, I think they took a little bit of a break at the head of their session. I mean, Lord knows when I was there, they were taking some breaks, right? I mean, in body, physically, down at the Capitol. But I am Texan. I am from Texas, for those of you who are new to the show, who are just catching this for the first time. So you're going to catch some Texas news here and there. But what I would recommend to the listeners who are beyond the boundaries and the borders of the Republic of Texas is that you find a way to apply these to your own individual state and or in your own backyard. Because if they're pulling these schemes in my backyard in the state of Texas, you know, they're pulling similar schemes in your backyard, and it might not be the backyard that it might not be the same schemes. It might not be as deep, and it might not be as wide, and it might not be as shallow. It could be deeper. But chances are they're running schemes with a similar frame in your backyard, because we're all 50, we're all united, and they are united in bringing all 50 down. Makes sense, doesn't it? Let's see. So most recent from Harris County, Texas House Elections Committee scrutinizes Harris County elections. So this is an article from KHOU, K Houston 11. This is a local, and I can tell you it's most likely bought and sold out. So let's see what the article is. It's most likely lamestream, shamestream, mainstream. Texas House Elections Committee scrutinizes Harris County elections. What does it say? The Secretary of State's Director of Elections and others noted that the sheer size, population, and traffic in Harris County can make troubleshooting challenging. So the question here is the Director of Elections for the Secretary of State making some kind of an excuse or an allowance for what occurred in Harris County in 2022? Okay. So, I mean, that begs the question, guys. Are they giving a way out for Clifford Tatum and for the botched election of 2022 in Harris County? Article says, paper ballot shortages and long waits for help during Harris County's November 2022 election came under the microscope Thursday at a hearing in Austin. Okay. Now, that's a hearing I have not been on the air, right? So, I've had things going on here. So, there was about two election hearings they've had in Texas already. This is for the state of Texas, guys. Texas news. Take the news and apply it to your state, okay? Could be doing the same schemes here. But we'll be examining that hearing that took place. Now, article says what happened in Harris County was just one of several topics lawmakers touched on, but it's the one that got heated at one point. Keith Ingram, the director of elections for the Texas Secretary of State, was there. He was invited to testify about Texas elections in general during the House Elections Committee first meeting this session. Now, I pointed out, now the people in this committee, ladies and gentlemen, are not people. Now, this is for the people of Texas, okay? These are not people that I would want on an elections committee, okay? The chairperson, his name is Reggie Smith. He's a Republican, okay? He is a Republican. You would have to, like, kind of look back and be like, where does this guy stand on election integrity, on election fraud prevention? You know, we've got his entire biography lined out here, but, you know, we're looking at what? Reggie Smith. And this guy, he is up in, now this is going to apply towards Texans specifically, but, you know, Reggie Smith is the representative for the 62nd district in Texas, which is a northeastern district, which actually borders Oklahoma, probably about a quarter to a third of the Texas-Oklahoma border. And now that is a rhino area. I mean, we've got so many rhinos up there from, Garrett, Representative Garrett to Representative, who are the other ones up there that are all bad? What's that woman's name? The one that was chairing the committee on health or whatever. Oh, goodness. You know, you're out of the loop for a couple of months. Anyways, so, but in northeast Texas, right up there in the Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Oklahoma border, etc., those are a lot of rhinos up there, guys, and they all work and cavort together. So it's not a surprise to me that Reggie Smith is up there working elections, okay? It's not a surprise to me. You know, he's going to have a lot of influence coming on him from his peers, you know? And let's see, here, who's the co-chair? Oh, over Williamson County, which just turned blue this year, that would be Representative John H. Busey III. Okay. Again, these are people that I have, these guys are strangers to election integrity as far as I know. Valerie Swanson, whom we just read about in this KHOU article, or did we read about Valerie Swanson yet? Maybe we haven't read about Valerie Swanson. She might be in an upcoming article that I wanted to share with you guys. Let me see here. Valerie Swanson. Okay, no, I don't see her. She's the only name I'm familiar with election integrity that I would want on this committee, right? Dustin Burroughs, representative, is definitely someone you do not want on this committee. Dustin Burroughs. That is a lackey of Dade Phelan, House Speaker, Rhino, okay, globalist, okay, anti-Texan. Dustin Burroughs is basically like his, I would say that's his like wingman or his quarterback or whatever. We also got Representative Giovanni Caprioloni, Representative Mano de Ayala, Representative Christian Manuel, Representative Eddie Morales, Representative Hubert Vo. If these representatives in Texas, my brothers and sisters, are familiar to you, I would be riding these guys hard right now. They are the Elections Committee for the House of Representatives for the 88th Legislature. They have jurisdiction over all matters pertaining to the right of suffrage in Texas, primary, special, and general elections, revision, modification, amendment, or change of the election code, the Secretary of State in relation to elections, campaign finance, and the following state agency, the Office of the Secretary of State. And again, if you're from Texas and even beyond, the Secretary of State's office is appointed. It is not elected, and that needs to change. Okay? So getting back to this article that we started with here from KHOU, Texas Scrutinizing Elections. Let's see here. It says, Keith Ingram being the Director of Elections for the Texas Secretary of State, was invited to testify at this committee hearing. Ingram said Harris County's 2022 primaries were just bad. He said the challenges under then elections administrator Isabel Longoria were some of the worst we've seen. Now, keep in mind, Isabel Longoria oversaw the 2020 and 2021 elections, okay? They were severely botched and terrible, okay? So Ingram acknowledges they were some of the worst they've seen. And then Ingram says the November general election run by current elections administrator Clifford Tatum had its challenges, but it was one of the best elections they've seen out of Harris County since Stan Stannert was clerk in 2018. This is a ridiculous statement by far. Isabel Longoria botched her elections, but Isabel Longoria did not run out of paper, did not have people disenfranchised, did not have people waiting in long lines and turned away. None of what happened in 2022 happened during Isabel Longoria. And let me tell you, I've gone hard on Isabel Longoria and it was nowhere near as bad, even though it was bad. So why is the Secretary of State's office making excuses for Harris County? That's what I want to know. We'd have to investigate Keith Ingram, to be honest with you, on that one, guys. And I'm pretty sure his name is included in the lawsuit against Texas for their botched elections in 2020 and beyond. I'm pretty sure he was one of the professionals or one of the people that they went to seek information about what was going on. Can you believe that he even said that Clifford Tatum ran such a good election? Here we go. Republican Representative Valerie Swanson of Spring, Texas, brought up the paper ballot shortages and the hours-long struggle from election judges that had help getting over the phone. Valerie Swanson said, "I don't know anyone in Harris County who would agree with you. We think it was an absolute disaster, and it's not just an oops, we had a logistical problem when great numbers of polling places were not given enough paper." Ingram shot back, saying not to take his words out of context. "It was the best election they've had since they've had an EA, an election administrator. BS, I say." But Ingram said that is, again, a very low bar. Ingram and others noted that the sheer size population and traffic in Harris County can make troubleshooting challenging. What I want to know is, why do they have a representative from the state of the Secretary of State's office running interference for Clifford Tatum? Why is Clifford Tatum not answering these questions? Why is Isabel Longoria not answering these questions? Why is there a representative from the Secretary of State's office answering for Clifford Tatum, the county of Harris's election administrator who botched and failed the people of Harris County in Houston and beyond and botched the elections? That's what I want to know. Those are the questions they're not answering, okay? So that was that. That just happened, and I'm going to go back and take a look at that hearing. We'll probably air it on my Rumble page, right? But next question, ladies and gentlemen. What else is going on in Harris County? This article coming out of Houston Public Media, which is actually interesting because we're going to run two articles that are similar out of Houston because I want you guys to catch up on Harris County. Now, I'm going to read you the two headlines. I got another KHOU article, and I got this Houston Public Media article, which, you know, public media gets me because they quite often use taxpayer dollars against taxpayers, right? Houston Public Media's headline, Betancourt, that's a senator, Kane and Schofield, their representatives, seek to abolish Harris County Elections Administrator's office. This is also going on. This is the KHOU headline on the same story. Two GOP legislators in Harris County want to let the state replace local elections administrators. Let's start with the KHOU article. The proposals were filed in response to Harris County's problems at the polls in recent elections. House and Senate bills filed by Republican lawmakers in response to Harris County's mismanagement of its recent elections could give the Secretary of State of Texas the authority to step in, suspend elections administrators when a complaint is filed, and appoint a replacement administrator. Elections administration experts told VoteBeat. Now, VoteBeat is a they're an imprint, they're a sub magazine, a sub publication of the Texas Tribune. Okay, and the Texas Tribune is a leftist Marxist spit rag that everyone in Texas, including the entire legislative body, bow down to because they're the media over Texas. Okay, so Texas VoteBeat says election administration experts told VoteBeat the legislation was an overreaction to the desire for to hold Harris County accountable for years of election mismanagement. Years of election mismanagement, not just 2022, not just 2021, not just 2020. And that's years already, but years of election mismanagement. Ask Catherine Engelbrecht of True the Vote what she did in 2009, ladies and gentlemen. It's years of election mismanagement. And it would disrupt the state's ability to help county election offices improve and address systemic problems. If passed, the Secretary of State's office would change from being a guide and resource for election workers to being an auditor that can investigate and fire them. Some election officials are concerned this change could prevent local election workers from asking questions or seeking help from the office for fear of being reprimanded. Now, I get that. When we're talking about protecting our backyard, county, municipal, county, state, federal, right? For protections, okay? The pathways of protection, right? The gateways that protect us from an overreach in government. But check this out. So the Houston People Public Media's article says this. State Senator Paul Betancourt and State Representative Briscoe Kane and Mike Schofield have filed identical bills that would force counties with more than 1 million residents to eliminate the appointed office, handing its functions over to elected officials. I don't see anything wrong with that, handing it over to elected officials, right? But is this a state overreach, is the question. article goes like this. The three Harris County Republican lawmakers that filed the bill would abolish the Office of Election Administrator in counties with more than 1 million residents. The bills would affect five of the state's six largest counties, but it appears to target Harris County. Okay. The bills would affect, in addition to Harris County, Dallas County, Tarrant County, Bexar County, and Collin County. Okay. Now, Bexar County, Collin County, Dallas County, we know they have problems with election integrity. We know election fraud is and can be prevalent in those counties. Tarrant as well, right? They don't want this. Now, you could see this as state overreach, but check this out. What does this bill actually do? Does it give the powers to the Secretary of State's office as elected officials? No. It says right here. The bill filed by State Senator Paul Bettencourt and the identical bill filed by Senators State Representatives Briscoe, Kane, and Mike Schofield. Now, Briscoe, Kane, I know that you are cavorting with the Council for National Policy, okay, which obviously is an establishment rhino think tank, do tank, funding tank. So I got my eyes on you, Briscoe, Kane, but these identical bills would hand the powers of the appointed election administrator back, operative word back, to the elected officials or the elected county clerk and the county tax assessor slash collector. That's the way it works in most of America, ladies and gentlemen. The county clerk actually runs elections, okay? You know, we decided to make an elections administrator position in some of our municipalities and counties, okay? And having this centralized control has just gotten everything out of whack, right? So Dallas County, Tarrant County, Bexar County, and Collin County, if you mess up, and by the assessment of 2022, it was only Harris. I'm sure it was far more widespread. We all know what was going on in Collin County with the election notebooks and tabulators, right? After the polls closed, they started jumping numbers. We had what? Over a grand ghost voters that voted after polls closed. Remember? I mean, the stories are there. It's all recorded, okay? So that's what this bill is looking to do. Bettencourt said in 2022, the former Harris County Elections Administrator, Isabel Longoria, found 10,000 votes and released a statement at 10:30 p.m. on a Saturday night that led to her resignation. Then the current election administrator, Clifford Tatum, either would not or could not get millions of paper ballots out of the warehouse and to the polls, with thousands of voters being turned away for lack of ballots. Tatum is currently the focus of a lawsuit by the Harris County Republican Party, which charges him with either mismanaging or deliberately rigging the 2022 general election. In addition, 21 unsuccessful Harris County Republican candidates from the election are suing to demand new elections, citing the same allegations, and a Republican top donor by the name of Jim McInvale, Mattress Mac, is suing the elections administrator's office for alleged violations of the Texas Public Information Act in connection with the 2022 general elections. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, think about that. Maricopa County, Arizona happens. Harris County, Texas happens. No one's talking about Harris County, okay? And we have 21 candidates who are challenging this election. And yeah, sure, maybe they didn't win. Maybe some of the 21 didn't win. Maybe all of the 21 didn't win. But you know what? The point of the matter here is that we do not know, because the elections are so botched, so many people got turned away. There's no way to have confidence in what the actual turnout was for that election, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harris County, Texas. That is 21 candidates, and just by coincidence, just by happenstance, they are all Republican candidates. Now, that cannot be a coincidence. Can it? That's an honest question. Can that be a coincidence? Now, we had, let's see here, the bills that were being filed, along with several others that were in reaction to what happened in Harris County. One was authored by Tom Oliverson. This is a state representative. Again, you know, I mean, we're talking about state. The swamp runs deep. The swamp runs long, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you guys are getting that idea. I mean, Tom Oliverson voted yes to Dade Phelan, the Speaker of the House, who is totally against election fraud prevention. He has no commitment to election integrity, but that's just the game that we play, apparently. Okay. That's just the game that we play, apparently, right? So we can stay in power and be here forever, right? So we can maintain our title and our, because we want to make a career out of being a politician instead of just doing what's right for your family, your community, your neighbors, and your state and nation, and then getting out. We need term limits. Anyways, that's not what this conversation is about. Okay, so there was that. That's what we had going on kind of in Houston. That's kind of the most recent. Let me see what else I can pull here for you guys in that regard. Mattress Mac. Who is that? This is a top GOP donor. GOP donor Mattress Mac files lawsuit against Harris County Elections Office for access to 2022 Election Day records. Houston businessman and Republican donor Jim McInvail is suing the Harris County Elections Administrator's Office for violations of the Texas Public Information Act as he seeks details about the November 2022 election. The lawsuit alleges that the elections office has failed to turn over records and has refused to turn over records that are patently germane to understanding what happened in the midterms in the county. Ex-reporter turned consultant Wayne Dolcefino is also involved in the lawsuit and has filed FOIA requests for McInvail. The people of Harris County, Mattress Mac said during a press conference on Tuesday, are concerned about this election. It's disconcerting to me that Dallas County, Travis County, Bear County can all have the elections done Tuesday night at 10 p.m., which is kind of true. Bear County, it was more towards midnight. Votes counted over. Harris County continues to the next day till 6, almost a full 24 hours later. McInvail gave thousands of dollars to GOP candidates in Harris County, most notably the Republican county candidate for county judge, Alexandra Del Moral Miller. McInvail appeared in television commercials endorsing Miller that blanketed Houston television airwaves in the weeks leading up to the November elections. Miller is one of the numerous losing GOP candidates who have since filed lawsuit over the results. In a statement, the county elections office said it has and will continue to follow the law and election Texas election code related to public information requests regarding the election, adding that it has released an assessment of the November elections while responding to two audit requests from the state. The elections office also said it is limited in what it can release because of ongoing election-related litigation. Nearly 24 individual candidates have filed lawsuits challenging the results, and the Harris County Republican Party sued the county and elections administrator Clifford Tatum over their handling of the elections. McInvail also pointed out that certain precincts ran out of ballots, which caused long waits at some locations. Neither McInvail or Dolcefino provided proof at the press conference or in their filings of wrongdoing or errors that would have led to the results of elections turning out differently. Dolcefino and McInvail are represented by attorneys Jeff Diamond. Dolcefino said they asked for emails, text messages, and phone records from election day. Dolcefino said there were also reports of how many people voted in 2018 and the county should have been prepared for that many ballots at the precinct. However, after the 2018 election, Harris County voters have been allowed to cast ballots at any polling location in the county. When this was pointed out by a reporter, Diamond responded that each location should still have been repaired. That's a fact, okay? That's a fact. And why would you compare the 2018 to the 2022? Because it's a midterm, okay? I mean, let's face it, guys. Since 2016, elections have been crazy. You should have been prepared. Regardless if you can vote out of your precinct, regardless if you can vote out of the county line and you live on the other side of the county line, on that county line, it doesn't matter. They should have been prepared for the amount of people in their county regardless, ladies and gentlemen. So there's that. They don't need to show the proof in their press conference. I mean, the Harris County GOP Republican Party has already shown that. There are countless people who have shown that in the context of a courtroom as well, ladies and gentlemen. So that's a little bit of what's going on in Harris County. Again, unlike Maricopa County, Arizona, Phoenix, you have 21 people suing. You have like what, 4 people suing and only one that's really fighting in Maricopa County? But you have 21 in Harris County and they're looking to do a redo of this election because let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, you can have absolutely zero confidence in the outcome of that election. Zero confidence because you know thousands of voters were turned away. And you already know that in some instances, that number of voters who were disenfranchised or turned away made all the difference in that election's outcome. But let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can fix elections and you can fix election fraud. But if the people who are working in the elections are under duress, under the influence, being bribed or blackmailed by, you know, organizations like criminal cartels, it don't matter how much election integrity you fight for, because your judges, your attorneys, your state and federal representatives and senators, they might all be bought out and paid for. And if they're not, the people who are working as their bureaucratic administrators, administrators, they might be on the dole. They might be victims of human trafficking that are just happy to finally get life back to normal. But you would never know, would you? Unless you investigate. And an investigation at this point is simply essential. So we'll close today's episode with Harris County. I'm going to share this last article with you because I was actually kind of surprised by this. This comes from the Houston Chronicle, okay? And now you have to understand, as the last one of the last articles I shared with you guys mentioned, this Mattress Mac, Mr. McInvale, donated thousands of dollars to Republican candidates, notably the Harris County judge candidate, Meals. What was her name again? I can't remember her name. Meals. Was it Mueller? Judge Mueller, right? Okay. So she was one that he had challenged to. Now, she was running against Harris County's activist judge, the Democrat activist, SJW woke judge, Lena Hidalgo, okay? And she makes light, she makes quips at Mattress Mac. I guess they've had some kind of longstanding public, a feud, Lena Hidalgo and Mattress Mac. This article from I guess this is the Chronicle also. Is this also the Houston Chronicle? I mean, let me see here real quick if I do this. Yeah, it just says Chronicle. Lena Hidalgo mocks comical elections lawsuit filed by Mattress Mac. I mean, she is a total activist judge. Okay, she's totally partisan, and that's how her court rules. That's how her county court rules on partisan lines, ladies and gentlemen. Lena Hidalgo had made light of his lawsuit to turn over, you know, public records, as is the right of Texans, right? Hidalgo said, "It's almost comical. In Harris County, we're not only enduring the pillow guy, but we've got to deal with the mattress guy too." Good one, lunatic Hidalgo. But McInville was not exactly kind in his response. McInville said, "I'd also ask Judge Hidalgo two questions. What has she ever accomplished in her life, and has she ever had to sweat making payroll?" Okay. "The lawsuit stands on its own merits," McInville continued. "We're just asking for the records of the election officials. And the election officials, I would remind them, they work for the citizens of Harrison County. We do not work for them." So the Houston Chronicle, another leftist spit rag, actually released this editorial. It goes like this. Headline editorial: "Thank you, Mattress Mac, for suing Harris County over elections records. Whether Harris County disenfranchised voters and skewed election results by running out of paper in November is debatable. So is the merit of mushrooming election challenges by losing Republicans." Okay, like I said, they're a leftist spit rag. "What's not debatable?" the Houston Chronicle asks. "Texas open record laws, once heralded among the strongest in the nation, have been shamefully eroded over the past years by lawmakers who seem to fear sunshine as much as they do a primary challenge. That's why we applaud Jim Mattress Mac McInville for bringing some attention to the public record scandal in this state, regardless of whether the election scandal he's hoping for pans out or not. You may not agree with McInville's conservative politics, including his decision to bankroll Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo's Republican challenger, Alexandra Del Moral Mueller, but set that aside for a minute and look at what he's arguing in his lawsuit against the Harris County Elections Administrator's Office. McInville accuses the agency of refusing to turn over records he requested relating to November's midterm elections problems. Hidalgo was quick to dismiss McInville's lawsuit this week as politically motivated," which she always does. I'm breaking away from the article. She always does. She's always like, "Oh, it's racist. In fact, it's because of race that the state of Texas did not go in and investigate their botched 2022, 2021, or 2020 elections. Because of racism, okay? Racism. That's why they did not go in. Because if the state crossed that county line into Harris County, they would have been racists, okay? Or it would have been politically motivated because Lena Hidalgo and Harris County are Democrats by theft, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, but that's about the fortitude that the people in Texas who are elected or appointed Secretary of State have. They have zero fortitude, right, Keith Ingram, who's making excuses for the Harris County Elections Administrator, Clifford Tatum? He is. He's like, "It's traffic. I'm sorry. Traffic happens in Harris County. We can't get out millions of ballots. We didn't have to supply them with enough just because we know there's traffic," right? We know there's traffic, Keith Ingram, all right, elections director of the Secretary of State's Office of Texas. We know there's traffic. That is not an excuse in the year 2023, okay? So getting back to this article, all right, Hidalgo was quick to dismiss McInville's lawsuit this week as politically motivated, but pure intentions are not a qualification to access public information. Somehow, though, Hidalgo has also concluded that Mattress Mac's request for records is hurting democracy. Hidalgo says, "We've got now the mattress guy attempting to sow doubt in the election with a bogus lawsuit to prop up election denialism in order to, I don't know what, finance his profits, get some free press. Ultimately, those that are harmed are the residents of the county and the faith in our democratic process," which is BS because she's on the public taking and stealing and participating in fraudulent elections, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, they've almost got it down to a science, I'm sure, in Harris County, right? Again, refer to Katherine Engelbrecht and to Representative, what's her name again? Sheila Jackson Lee. Mm-hmm. And that investigation. So, I mean, it's ridiculous for it to say that he's going to get some free press or finance profits. They're building a criminal syndicate in Harris County. That's what they're trying to do, at least anyways. I mean, I'm not saying that people in Harris County politics aren't already corrupt or out for their own, but, you know, they're actually trying to make something Hidalgo and her friends over there. They already got the commissioners. All they need is the mayor's seat. Maybe they can get the city council also if they don't already got them as well. Ultimately, those are harmed are the residents of the county and the faith in our democratic process when, hello? This process is, what about the rule of law? What about a threat to the republic? Right? No one ever talks about how this is a threat to the rule of law in the republic. They just talk about how it's a threat to our ability to voice our opinion. What about our ability to have security or lawfulness? I mean, how do you say that? I don't know how to say it. It's a stranger to me yet. It's a concept that is just blooming. Ladies and gentlemen. The article goes on to say, apparently still smarting from McInvale's endorsement of her opponent, Hidalgo took her latest swipe at the longtime Houston businessman and philanthropist, lumping him in with the denialism of Donald Trump and supporter Mike Lindell. While it's true McInvale took 2 months to call the 2020 election for Joe Biden and participated in the 2022 Texas Youth Summit alongside election deniers such as future turncoat Lauren Boebert and Troy Nels, his concerns over ballot paper shortages and delays during the 2022 November election in Harris County are widely shared, included by this editorial board. That is another, like, whoa, the Houston Chronicle saying this? They must be fighting for his ad revenue. He probably threatened to pull it. Right? Mattress Mac was probably like, Houston Chronicle, I've spent millions of dollars donating to your magazine and promoting my buying ad space from you, and you're going to go and do what? Call me an election denier? What the heck is an election denier, right? A report by the election office that was supposed to provide answers on how widespread the paper outages were and how many voters were turned away was not a smoking gun, as we wrote, just smoky. It's troubling that the county's online tool, measuring estimated wait times at polling places, did not work, and there seems to be no reliable system to keep track of problems and how they're resolved. It's unacceptable that the biggest county in Texas is adding fuel to mostly baseless claims on the right that our elections cannot be trusted. Democrats should be as frustrated about that as Republicans. This is a leftist spit rag, ladies and gentlemen, I just said. Do you hear how the left and the right are all starting to come together? I mean, they may not know it, but to those of us standing on the outside who are already one with everyone because we're all American, we're looking at it and we're like, dang, we're seeing the two come together. Even though it's those who are asleep just waking up, it seems. Mattress Mac, but this is actually just a fight for ad revenue. Mattress Mac's request, submitted on his behalf by former sleuthing TV journalist turned media consultant Wayne Dulcifino, included texts, phone messages, and emails for election administrator Clifford Tatum, including correspondence with Precinct 1 Commissioner Rodney Ellis, office, along with voting machines, maintenance records, information about ballot paper, and communications between officials and judges overseeing polling locations. I told you the Harris County commissioners were already taken. Hello? They're already part of the con. The county, the Harris Chronicle says, it turned out, the county says it turned over some information. The rest of the request, it met the familiar fate that Texas journalists know all too well when we try to access even benign information maintained by government entities, from the state to the local police department. Harris County referred it to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's office, seeking an opinion on whether it can claim ongoing litigation as an excuse to withhold the information from the prying eyes, the eyes of Texas, the eyes of the public. So this is one of the methods that they use to do the long game. You know what I mean? That's one of the things. I mean, that's how they do it. That's how you play the game, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you make it last. It's part of lawfare, the litigation aspect. They can say, hey, we've got ongoing litigation, so we don't have to turn this information over to you. And it appears that that is what the maneuver that they're taking with this in Harris County. Ladies and gentlemen, it says going to the AG, the Attorney General in the state of Texas, used to be largely reserved for cases when requests raised security or privacy concerns. The presumption of the Texas Public Information Act has long been that public records are public property and most should be accessible to the owners. Today, government agencies seem to consider it almost perfunctory to seek safe harbor from the Attorney General to hide information, using a competitive harm excuse to withhold public contract information or a policy-making exception to shroud even routine personnel and administrative decisions. Exceptions for police and investigative information are even used to keep grieving parents from obtaining autopsies and other records on their children's deaths. A 2019 investigative report by the Chronicle's Jeremy Blackman and ABC 13 found that the number of requests to the Attorney General from state and local agencies seeking to withhold public information nearly doubled in the past decade, reaching 32,000 in 2018. Nearly all are granted. And while in the past, Texans could more or less count on former attorneys generals from, they're giving credit to John Cornyn and to Greg Abbott, but they're attacking Ken Paxton. I told you the Houston Chronicle, it's a leftist bit rag, right? I have some bones to pick with Paxton, you know, but he's better than John Cornyn. Okay. And Greg Abbott. I'd say maybe that's a hard one there. I mean, if you call Greg, no, okay, yeah, he's better than Greg Abbott. Okay. Anyways, so that's what we're dealing with here. The article concludes, Harris County elections officials seemed to suggest that honoring McKingvale's request for documents was out of their hands. They said the Attorney General's office has 45 working days from the day after the request to respond. And they added that any suggestion that the office lacks transparency is false. In truth, says the Houston Chronicle, Harris County had the option of transparency and chose obfuscation. The law does not prohibit the elections office from turning over the records. It only gives public agencies discretion to argue for exceptions to disclosure, including the popular litigation excuse. Bill Alishire, an attorney with the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, argues the exception should be repealed. Alishire said to the Houston Chronicle, there is no justification for denying the public information about a controversy just because it involves litigation. In fact, when something controversial enough happens to be the subject of a lawsuit, that is exactly when the public most needs to know what the records show. Indeed, Harris County is just one of many agencies engaging in cover-your-butt behavior enabled by the Texas legislature. Lawmakers, with the help of the Texas Supreme Court, have riddled the Texas Public Information Act with so many holes and escape hatches that the thing barely resembles the strong, open government statues that emerged after the Sharpstown stock fraud in the 1970s. So that's interesting, ladies and gentlemen. I told you guys, it's a pantomime of politics. And when you look at it through that frame, everything makes sense. And the judges are bought out. The legislators are bought out. And I wonder how many of them by way of cartel in the state of Texas. Because when the city of Austin wanted to buy out a mass of land and they tried to use eminent domain, the only ones who stopped them from moving forward were the cartels. Because those are their neighborhoods. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is some fat to chew on. But there is, ladies and gentlemen, right there before you, all that's going on in regards to Harris County. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you can take the narrative out of Texas tonight or today and apply it to your neck of the woods and your state. Now, we all have different state laws. They all vary to some degree, but a lot of them are similar to most degrees. And a lot of them, if I'm so stupid, all of them, of course, use the United States Constitution as its governing document. So you can very well take the examples that I bring to you out of the state of Texas and see if these frames, these stories, fit over any situations that are taking place in your backyard that you can't explain. Use them as ideas and examples to help bring some light to the dark shadows of corruption in your neck of the woods, ladies and gentlemen. Because, I mean, we're all here for the same reason, and that is to find ways to correct the egregious wrongs, violations, and betrayals that we have suffered as a nation and a people. And with that said, I think we will close today's episode. So thanks for being here for another episode of the C Report. I hope you guys can all see now. America is awake. You all be safe, be blessed, and God bless America. I will see you next time. Take care.